Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for September 17th, 2016. And it's my great pleasure to be interviewing Carl Johan Kalaman again. Carl Kalaman holds a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm, and he's a leading expert on the Mayan calendar and is the author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness and the Purposeful Universe. And he's well recognized as the leading authority on the Mayan calendar worldwide for very good reasons. He makes sense out of it. So thanks, Carl, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you, Chris. I'm looking forward to this.
Carl, you've got a new book out on the global mind and the rise of civilization.
Yes, and there is also one in the pipeline which is scheduled for December of this year, which is called The Nine Ways of Creation. And they are both sort of a little bit related or very much related. The new book that you're talking about, The Global Mind, is really to sort of verify from the past that the Mayan calendar is something that has relevance. And the forthcoming book is more actually going into what we can learn about our present time from the Mayan calendar. So it's actually both books are now, well, soon to be available, I should say.
Now, you did a book when I interviewed you about 2 years ago on Cosmic Love that was also called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, and that was the one that was more of the historical background of this trilogy that you're referring to?
Yes. So this one, it's actually the one that's that I now mentioned, the Global Mind, Rise of Civilization. It's actually a republished version of this book by Inner Traditions. So it's essentially the same book when we talk about the past. Yes.
I notice it's got a new cover, but largely the same title. You get into some of the quantum aspects of the shift in consciousness, which I've been fascinated with and talking about and writing about and on Cosmic Love the last couple of years. So you go into in this book an uncanny correspondence of major events throughout history with the nine shift points of the Mayan calendar long count, and this is way beyond coincidence. And as anyone, I think, with a little bit of common sense could kind of connect the dots, looking with the charts and graphs and the explanations as it corresponds to the steps and the stages of the Mayan pyramid itself. But then, of course, the coding and the Mayan calendar stone referencing this long count and these larger cycles, and it's so far beyond coincidence that it suggests a divine purpose.
I really think so, and I think that's really one of the major take homes of the Mayan calendar. And the reason that I really have put so much research into trying to match the shift points in the calendar with what actually happened historically speaking, is that I want to make people aware that we are part of a cosmic plan, which has a direction. And I think, in your introduction to this program, I think you very much, very beautifully described that. And it's a direction towards what you would call unity consciousness. And We may not see this always in our lives, and we don't see it always when we look back at history, because there's been very troubled times and lots of conflicts and warfare and violence and so forth, and the same to some extent is true for the present time, but the way we look at these events changes completely if we become aware that these may be more like hurdles on the path, that every new phenomena that emerges in this creation will also bring some kind of resistance and some kind of hard times to deal with whatever novelty there is. But there is an overall plan. History is not random. And the civilizations that have emerged throughout the 5,000 years or the past, they do not emerge randomly. They are the products of a wave movement. And I think this is very important for people to know. And it's something that actually takes a little bit of study to really convince yourself of. Because there are a lot of details in this,
yeah.
But I think that's what's the major take home of this whole thing. We should not believe that, if there is a hard time, that this is, meant to be a disaster or something like that. Overall, it's a loving plan that's been designed for life in this universe, and that's what I don't want people to lose their faith in.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I really got out of your books, and studying the Mayan calendar and having different authors on over the years, is that it's all in divine order. There are cycles within cycles, but there are patterns. And
yes.
there's extraordinary correspondence to key turning points in cosmic history, human evolution and the evolution of consciousness, and that there is a plan for
yeah.
the evolution of this global mind, this collective unity consciousness.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I saw that you have a recent article. I mean, it's on Brexit, which I thought was really excellent. You explained how now, after 2011, which a lot of people mistakenly thought was the end of the Mayan calendar long count, rather than the beginning of, you might say, or the following of the ninth wave, and the numerous integration patterns of all the waves, previous
yes.
waves,
yes.
for a generation of a unified global civilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the article went into the whole Brexit thing, the British exit
yeah.
from the European
yeah.
Union, and the cycles that all interplayed with the rise and the fall of the British Empire. Within the context of the rise and the fall, throughout history of Roman empires, all these different empires, right at the key parts of these cycles, just like clockwork. I mean,
yep.
it's like so amazingly integrated with an integrity that, to me, is like a common pattern, common sense of civilizations rise and fall, and global civilization. There's a whole new unity consciousness, spherical consciousness, global, all connected, instant everywhere, internet consciousness that we're now seeing since 2011 has created a global conscience, unity conscience.
Yes.
So I call it social conscience within our social networks, because now we've got this instant, everywhere, interactive connection with like Facebook, and what is it, 1.71 billion people per month now are interacting on Facebook. You know?
Yeah.
And there's a wholly new unity consciousness and that transcends the duality of the past. Could you go into that Brexit article a little bit more? I'm just touching the surface of it.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Well, one of the things that I want to show in this article is this progression of civilizations, starting 5,130 years ago, at the time when, according to the Maya, a new calendar began, a new wave, I would say, began of a wave of evolution. And that wave of evolution has peaks and valleys, as any kind of a sine wave would have. And the peaks and the valleys are each about 400 years long. So it's a fairly long-term perspective. And but when we look upon this, we may look upon all the civilizations that have come out of human history, and especially the major empires, that they are created by the time periods that are peaks in this wave movement. Or I would also like to call them days and nights, because that's conforms to this biblical idea of 7 days and six nights of creation. And this wave movement, the sixth wave, as I would call it, because that's the place it has in the context of the Mayan nine waves, it has gone from, at the very beginning, we know that the first real nation emerges, and that's the dynastic nation of Egypt that's formed about the time 3115 BC when this way began. And then you might say that the various types of empires that have been created by these peaks, because the times in between are more like periods of rest or restructuring and so forth. But it's gone all the way from a local civilization or a couple of local civilizations 5,000 years ago to the kind of global civilization that we're having at the present time. And but I'm also pointing out here that, you know, the last wave here, the seventh wave, which started in 1617, it started with the formation of the United Kingdom. But as well, we know that this is about the time when the first pilgrims came to Massachusetts, and so it is sort of the beginning also of the United States. And especially the latter part of this day, of this wave, it is somewhat like that the United States has taken over the role of the British Empire, and the world for about 400 years had been dominated by the West. Mm-hmm. And now that period is coming to an end. And and over time, and I don't know what the time frame is, but we'll come to a world that is more balanced between East and West than it has been in the past. This is just part of the logic of the wave movement, so to speak. And how will this happen? And I think that this is a critical point, how to deal with it, because it may happen in potentially in different kinds of ways, this sort of end to these empires. And one is sort of just a rapid disintegration of the structures of the world. The other one is that we are people learn, and the more the better, I would say, to resonate with the waves that are higher on the Mayan pyramid, which would be mean the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth wave. And here is, it's in those waves that I really want people, especially, to become aware of the ninth wave, because that's a wave that brings unity consciousness. And many people are at the same time as, you know, the world maybe seemed to be going crazy. We've seen a lot of that in the past year. At the same time, there is a lot of people that are just becoming more and more aware of the unity of everything and see the connections between everything. And that's a new approach to life. That's a new new way of understanding the world. But what's implied in that is also that we will start to create a world where, based on the recognition that everything is connected to everything else, and that includes every human being is being connected to every other human beings and being and to nature and so forth. And so one of the things I want to recommend is another article at my website, kalaman.com, which is called Following the Ninth Wave, because it has a couple of tools that people may actually be able to see how to what extent they are in resonance with this new coming wave that was activated only in 2011. For the first time in human history, activated in 2011, and brings this change that I think is badly needed today, to transcend the kind of dualistic thinking that we've seen predominantly in the American election campaigns and so forth. The whole way of sort of separating, that's the old. That is what is on its way out. I'm not saying that it will disappear easily, but what is now being transcended. And I think it is for us to point to what can be done here. How can we, on a larger scale, contribute to the best kind of solution or best move forward, the best manifestation of the destiny of humanity that is pointed out by these waves.
Well, I've been tuning into from your first book. This ninth wave has excited me, and I have seen. As I look at the analogies that you provide and the different exquisite metaphors with charts and graphs referencing the acceleration of time, the sense of time. Time is the same, but our perception, the lens of perception, and of course there's also the information explosion with the internet and the connecting, then creating new information, then everybody's originating information, and there's like a recycling of general knowledge to generate specific wisdom in every field of science and endeavor, and there is this instant everywhere interactive phenomena going on globally, this unification, unity consciousness that of the sense of unity and diversity or community, global community, social network communities, whatever community, whatever a person's interested in. There's education communities, business communities. On the internet, there's all kinds of communities that are coming into unity at a higher level of what is, where is it going, what will it look like, what's the highest and best purpose for conscious evolution, and it is like it's hit a pace and a speed Some people are just overwhelmed by it. I'm a pretty fiery person. I get excited by it, and I love someone like yourself and Lynn McTaggart, who I had on the show a few years ago. She had a book called The Field and the Bond, and she talked about this east-west thing of the hemispheres of the world and the hemispheres of the brain, and how there's a correspondent, even going back 5,000 years and before, with the creation of language in the Western Hemisphere. They created, you know, linear, logical, left brain, letter of the law, symbols and words from that you read from left to right. But in the Eastern Hemisphere, they created these calligraphy symbols that were like whole pictures that you read on the page from the right to the left, because they're right brain dominant. Whereas in the West, we're left brain dominant. So it's like the holographic universe within the own hemispheres of our brain. You've got the left brain linear logical letter of the law, and you've got the right brain nonlinear spherical spiritual spirit of the law, which is just knowing without, you know, just intuitive knowing. And in the world, you see this new unity consciousness emerging, where there's this new sense of the East is rising. I mean, there's no question that there's a rising in the East, and it's really a rising of the divine feminine, because they're more in the Eastern Hemisphere. In the East, they're more kind of a community network oriented, in what's best for all. Whereas in the West, it's more individualism and what's best for me and mine.
And I think that whole thing, that whole resonance between our brains and our brain halves and the earth is something that's very important to be aware of, because it shows that our ways of thinking, and you give the example of from what side we write and read and so forth, it's just one example, but it shows that this is actually something that we download. It's not our brains in isolation that is coming up with these ideas. These ideas are coming because we are in resonance with the planet, and it is through the waves that the planet is mediating to us that our ways of thinking may be altered, and that we become part of a cosmic plan, because we are these waves are changing, and the shift points will change the kind of information that is coming through the earth, and then we download it and we express it, and we become part of this cosmic plan, and I think that's another very important take home from this whole way of thinking. We should not believe that our minds are separate. We are really connected. We're all connected with the earth in this, and we may be able to tune into some different frequencies that are emitted by the or broadcast through the earth, so to speak, but still we are we're downloading very much of our mind, and that's really what's behind the fact that we are part of a divine plan.
Well, that concept of downloading from the quantum field, I mean, we both know, Carl, that Western science is of a mechanistic nature has gone kicking and screaming into the quantum age as far as quantum science and energy, and it's been like, you know, it's changing, but there's people all over the world that are fascinated with quantum science and how everything is energy, and that there's this field of energy, a holographic field of energy between the ears, you know, the brain field, and that it's corresponding and resonating with the quantum field, and of course the quantum field of the Earth is resonating with deep space energies, you know, from galactic alignments, which was corresponding to 2011 also. This the idea of the sine wave curve of our solar system up and across the galactic plane of hundreds of billions of star systems. It was in a. Some people say that this is, you know, of course, in perfect correspondence with the understanding of the Mayan calendar, that this was the big event. This was, you know, this concept of this alignment with the deep space energies of our galaxy and alignment with hundreds of thousands of billions, it's actually hundreds of billions of star systems aligned with the great central sun of our galaxy, and that the photonic light or the quantum light, it was morphing the grids, the energy grids of the Earth. So here we are on the Earth, and our, you know, our brain fields and the energy fields of the Earth are resonating together, and there's an acceleration. There's an enlightenment going on, a global, call it unity consciousness, a global enlightenment, where, you know, the sense that of ourselves, the family of mankind, in a global village as a whole. You know, we're all in this together, and that's a real revelation as far as a whole new way of looking at everything.
Yes, it is. and I like what you're saying, or I think it's funny what, you know, you were saying about the science is kicking and screaming, because that's really what it is. I mean, the you might say hardcore physicists, they came up with these concepts of quantum physics about 100 years ago, and then they was sort of their turf for a long time. But then some people started to see, well, hey, this is really something that has consequences, as you're talking about. Our world is really a reflection of a quantum field, and then, you know, there's been this kicking and screaming, there's been a resistance sometimes on the part of hardcore scientists to sort of say something like, don't draw any consequences or conclusions. But really, that's really what's the important thing for us to do, is to not be intimidated by too much of mathematics or anything like that in this regard, but actually see that the important consequences of how physics and the physical reality is really related to consciousness, and how the waves are transformed to our experiences through the being us being conscious observers, and that really is, it's really mind blowing, and as you're saying, it accounts for a completely different worldview than people used to have previously. It's a new world.
The Earth is not flat anymore, and
we
got this. There's this interesting thing about quantum science, is that the way you observe or look at an experiment will affect the outcome.
Yeah.
And so the way we look at, and I think that's why I really encourage listeners to, you know, really kind of tune into your book, because the way we look at the big picture of really global enlightenment right now and what's going on, it's the pure intention to focus attention with, you know, basically affects the outcome.
Yeah.
It actually... My expression is, pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in all the dimensions of full comprehension.
That's good. And
this is what's kind of going on with this new social conscience in our global interactive social networks. People are becoming aware of a true history, and this is... Your book is a really good framing of true history as far as pattern recognition and seeing the trendings and seeing how those trendings correspond, you know, with these nine waves of the long count of the Mayan calendar to the actually outpicturing in physical stone, the way they built their temples that had those nine steps or stages of steps going up to the top of the Mayan pyramids. I mean, they actually, just like the pyramids, sometimes called the Bible in stone, the Mayan calendars are a different type of Bible in stone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like cosmic law is etched in the steps up the Mayan pyramids. It's really, to me, it's fascinating.
It is, and you know, I really have experienced that very, very directly myself. When I've been I've spent a lot of time climbing different pyramids down in the Mayan area, and sometimes I was even wondering what is this, you know, why am I doing that? And I was just called to do it, and did so without really knowing. This is before I started to write about the Mayan calendar or anything like that. And but then afterwards, I realized that, you know, just climbing these pyramids and the various steps, and because they all have these calendrical steps built into themselves, and so by climbing them, I really got into my whole body the information, in a sense, and. Afterwards, now I understand why I did that, why I would sort of travel from pyramid to pyramid and see what, not really knowing what I was looking for, but it's there in a very tangible form and very physical form if you actually choose to walk them.
You anchored it in the physical before you processed it mentally.
I also want to come back to this, what you said with the intention, and that sort of brings us back to quantum theory and well as to the Mayan calendar, that you know, these waves that are coming from the center of the universe through the Earth and that we're in resonance with in quantum theory, they basically are looked upon as potentialities. They are they're bringing possibilities to us, but it all comes down, you know, what manifests with them comes down to the kind of intentions that we have, and that's crucial. Here, I think, you know, it's something for all of us to really work with that and be clear about our intentions, not only for ourselves but for the world, and visualize and try to make tangible to ourselves, especially at this time of so many conflicting tendencies being present in the world, which are different potentialities that people are downloading, you might say. We do have a possibility of working with these things through our intentions and through our visions and so forth.
So the my understanding is that it's will or intention that focuses the lens of consciousness, it focuses attention, you know, the lens of consciousness. So then pure intention focuses attention with love's retention. Pure intention, you know, is, you know,
once more,
call it divine love, or so it focuses the lens of consciousness, the lens of attention. With love's retention, you know, pure intention does. And then you know, and of course the synergy of that, it's like a rolling momentum, you know. Pure intention focuses attention, love's retention for conscious ascension. So this whole thing of the ascension of global humanity to a global village, the family of mankind, unity consciousness, is all part of the momentum of becoming conscious of how we are conscious. And I think that's the objective observer part of it. Where it's like you've got biofeedback loops, where you got psyche feedback loops, where we become conscious of how we are conscious, And in that loop, if there's pure intention, then you've got conscience with a capital C. It's like seeing with your heart rather than your mind. There's heart coherence.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's heart coherence that determines mind congruence. The mind can't really be congruent unless there's coherence, and coherence is in the field.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well said.
So I'm working on that.
Yeah. We should all be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved over the years, you know, talking to people a lot smarter than me about this kind of stuff, like yourself and Lynn McTaggart and Dan Winter and just different people that, you know, we're all trying to get a grip on where it's going and how to get the picture. You know, there's like the big picture and the signpost, the key significators on the path, you know, that gives us an indication of where this is going. And of course, you know, the more we know about this quantum field, this global mind, this collective unconscious that Jung talked about, that's becoming conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we know about it, the more it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, to where it becomes self-evident that we are all coming together as never before in history, along more enlightened lines that are non-linear. You know, it's like a spherical consciousness that's more balanced with the hemispheres, rather than, you know, the competitive win-lose, you know, left brain dominant, right brain loses. You know, we're getting past that, to where it's like a win-win between the two hemispheres of the brain, and it's like the two hemispheres of the world, and it's like, you know, cooperation rather than competitive win-lose.
There you, I think you have really formulated some great intentions with those words. Yeah.
Well, I'm you know, it's like anything else. The more you work at it, the better you get at it. And I don't learn fast, but I learn good.
Okay, good.
You know, I was brain damaged at an early age, and thanks to the neuroplasticity of the brain, you know, I keep working at it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to add a little bit more here for comparison of the different waves. The book that was recently released, The Global Mind of the Rise of Civilization, it talks about the big change that people underwent about 5,000 years ago, when at approximately the same time people started to create civilizations in Egypt, in Mesopotamia, and the Indus Valley, and approximately at the same time people started to build pyramids in as far remote areas like in Mongolia and Peru and Egypt and so forth, and
it's all over the world,
showing that we're all part of a global mind that we download, and when we download that, we start to express that differently. And that's, I think, a very important take home of this book as well, that, you know, when the waves change, when a new wave was activated, as happened at that particular time, people everywhere started to change. And then it's been going from there to on to the future, and there's been the up and downs of civilizations and so forth. But nonetheless, that was a change that was never really reversed, and we've been sort of following and surfing on that wave until the present time. And that's, you know, that is what's discussed in that article about Trump and Brexit. And
good. Well, what was interesting to me is
let me just continue.
Okay.
So now this was one wave, And there's 9 different waves, and the highest of the waves was the 9th wave that was activated in 2011, that's 5 years ago. And what we should be aware of here is that this has become a potentiality for everyone. But, you know, as we do know, not everyone is sort of already into this kind of unity consciousness. And the people that are fully born into this possibility, they are now, they're still less than 5 years old. And what that means is that we don't see maybe yet, we sensing the change, and some people are going further than others, but it's not something that has yet come to sort of dominate the adult population of the world. And so this is something that, in principle, it brought a tremendous change when this wave became accessible, in the sense that a new possibility became there is a new possibility created. But it's up to us to set the intentions in accordance with this new possibility, and the more we do so, and the more it will manifest, and the quicker the change will be, and yet, you know, it's still something that probably will take some time, because, as I said, the kids that are fully born into that, they are less than 5 years of age. But, you know, one thing, sometimes people ask me this question, now, how do you see that something has changed in the world? And one thing that I like to point out in this regard is the new Pope, or the Pope, I don't can remember if it was 2011, 2012, or 2013 that he was inaugurated. But it sort of shows a big change in how this major religious institution of our planet suddenly gets a leader who is sort of actually starting to practice what the original teachings would say, and does not seem to be stuck in dogmas or doctrines or something like that, but actually...
Oh, yeah, he's a whole new kind of pope.
Whole new kind of pope, and I think he is really a reflection of this new 9th wave, it's the beginning of what will come later, and it happened in the religious area, and that's very important. But there are many other, as you talked about, the different communities that are emerging on the internet and so forth, that also needs to be affected by these kind of a change.
There's a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities. I mean, when you talk about these children that are 5 years old, that are like 3D projectors of the global mind, you know, coming into maturity.
they're like
holographic projectors, and the challenge is you've got, you know, the old model of ownership and control through a medical big pharma corporatocracy that wants to give them, what is it, 68 vaccines now in their, you know, inject them with toxins and poisons to addle their brains with mercury. And I mean, it's just like, and this is a controversial subject with a lot of people, but, you know, and I just wrote an article about it in greater detail that I just published on my HeartCom network that went into this aspect of the challenge. And you've got the same kind of think global, act local dynamics that were going on back 5,000 years ago, when you had the global thing going on with the waking up of civilization all over the planet, building these pyramids, and they all acted locally. The Mayan pyramids were different from the Egypt pyramids, were different from the China, the Mongolia pyramids.
Yeah,
they're all in the Peru pyramid. They're all unique and different, but they were all had this geometry
Yes.
It's like a new order of the ages. So there was a local, global, and that's what's going on now. There's a whole global mind, unity consciousness, and it's like, there's the light. The light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not, and it's like the dark side of the old, you might say the old paradigm, is for ownership and control. The physical and human resources of the planet are even injecting the children with toxic genetic poisons, so they don't really fulfill their potential. I mean, it's really amazing.
We are at the time of many conflicting influences, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way you said it in your your recent. Actually, it was just earlier this month in one of your blogs. You said that we're now in the era after the shift in the Mayan calendar. And this has given, from 2011, and this has given a lot of new ideas as to what is happening not only in the past, in the ancient past of humanity, but also in our current time, where these nine different waves are creating an interference pattern for evolution unlike any previous time in history.
We could
talk about that for a whole nother show, but I'm going to have to do a wrap. Carl, it was really good talking with you today.
But very nice to talk to you.
Let's do this again. Keep in touch. And those who are listening, thanks so much.
Yeah.
And Carl's webpage is just simply www.calleman.com, calleman.com.
Yes.
And get more information. And again, thanks for listening, everyone. Carl, bless you all. Happy trails.
Bless you.
See the good and keep the faith and make it so.
Yes.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Chris.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. the best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love and action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love and man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.